You are now listening to the Conversation Room podcast with Reese Alisa. Step into the conversation room because we have a lot to talk about. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Conversation Room podcast with Reese Alisa. Thank you for joining me. And I have a special guest on the line. I'm so excited. I know him from a show called Chef Julian. But y'all might have seen him on Headspace, What If, and a plethora of other movies and TV shows. But I have Mr. Daryl Blaylock on the line with me. How are you?
I'm cooling. How you feeling?
I feel so good, honey. I had like a little self-care today, so I'm kind of like in like a little mood.
Hold on. What does your self-care consist of?
Well, it's been like a self-care weekend. It's been nail shop, getting my hair done, taking like an extra long extended shower.
Oh, okay. So you got long hot water then at your crib then.
Yeah. You know what? That's so funny because I checked the time and when I got out the shower, I was in there for like 25 minutes.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it felt great. It was much needed.
Well, I'll tell you what. I got a so my hot water heater went out at my apartment here, mm-hmm. and they replaced it, and so It's twice the size it was. So now I too can enjoy a 25-minute shower.
Come on, and look, 25-minute showers are much needed.
Absolutely, Jeremy. Absolutely. I feel like Sunday is not really a self-care day for me, but mm-hmm. I do indulge in self-care. But I did. I did juice me some celery juice right before I got on with you. So
yeah, that's my come on, topic. Juicing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start back my juicing tomorrow. Hopefully.
Stop playing. See the way you look to the right. You capping right now? Don't cap. Just go behind in the kitchen and juice your juice now.
I'm gonna try. You know what? I did so good from like January all the way to like second week in March. I end up losing like 12 pounds and then I just, for some odd reason, I just stopped and I probably gained 12 pounds plus more back. But it's okay though, because we're gonna do right.
One day at a time, baby.
One day at a time. Listen, that part. Well, before we get started, first of all, thank you so much for joining me on my podcast, mm-hmm. for taking your busy schedule, just, you know, sitting down and having a conversation with me. But before we get started, I want to play a little game.
Okay.
Little icebreaker. Oh, so, okay. First question: if you could be any animal, what would it be and why?
I love elephants.
Why elephants?
I think elephants are so endearing, man, and I just feel like they just look like they're full of wisdom. They're mm-hmm. patient. They're calm, but don't get on their bad side because they're not gonna forget you, and they're gonna give you that issue when they catch you slipping.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of myself, you hear me? So uh-huh. I love elephants. It's one of my favorite, if not my most favorite animal.
Okay, awesome. I like elephants too. Second question, if you were stranded on an island, what are three things you will bring?
Ooh, if I was stranded on an island, what are three things? Okay, I would bring The Alchemist. It's a book. I'll bring The Alchemist.
I read that book. It is awesome.
Uh-huh. Can I bring my computer? Well, I ain't gonna be able to use my computer. I would bring my cards, and I would bring a picture of my mama.
Oh, come on now.
Random as hell, I know, but I need the alchemist because it keeps me dreaming. And it keeps me like connected. Well, it keeps me connected to the language of the world, so to say. But it keeps me looking out for maxims. It keeps me like paying attention to the small things.
Actually listened to that book maybe like a year and a half ago. on Audible. And it was really good. Somebody recommended me the book, so I checked it out. I think I'm gonna probably, like, you know, go back and listen to it again just to get like a refresher, because it's pretty cool.
No, that's one of my favorite books. I feel like that's one of those books that you have to read at least once every year, year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a must for me.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Last question. Quality time watching the sunsets go down or quality time watching Netflix?
Netflix. You said that that's the last one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. I live in L.A., so it's nothing for me to go to Santa Monica to the pier and just watch the sunset. So
yeah.
I'm a sunset. I'm a sentimental dude, man. I'm very romantic when it comes to that. Like, I mean, I like make romantic as far as in like relationship romantic, but I am romantic with life. So mm-hmm. like I will go, like I go to the beach and write my intentions down when the new moon hit, you know what I'm saying? Or when the full moon come out, I'm that dude gonna be out there staring at the moon and staring at the stars. Like, I feel like if you can't appreciate the sunset and the stars and the moons and the galaxy and shit, I ain't for you.
Exactly. That's funny that you say that, because I just been on like this, I want to be around water type of kick. And anytime I can just be around just water, I don't necessarily have to be in the water, but if I can just sit beside the water and just kind of just hear the waves going and the wind blowing, it's just such a beautiful thing. So I do agree with you. I do. If you can't enjoy nature, then we can't have a conversation.
We ain't talking about much.
Yeah. Cause it's just so much more to life than just the clubs and brunch. And I mean, don't get me wrong, brunch is fun, but it's just something about like everything that God has created. It's just so beautiful.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know what? I'm not a small talk type of person. And think about this, like, you know, everything is based off of vibrations and frequencies, you dig? Mm-hmm. So for me, like if we not vibing like that, and like mm-hmm. if you can't meet me with the deep, no offense, but like we're not gonna go that far, and nothing's gonna come much from us. I mean, I'm all about the deep.
Yeah, me too.
Agreed. Bring my world with me, you heard me.
Agreed. Well, thank you for playing that game. It was like a little icebreaker for the both of us. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned earlier, everyone, I saw Daryl on Black and Sexy TV on Chef Julian. When he came across my screen, I was like, God damn!
All that?
Yeah.
All that?
It was a little extra. I was like, wait a minute. They just threw that up in there. They didn't give us no warning or nothing. And then also, we are from the same state. We're both from Mississippi, which is awesome. Awesome. I'm from Vicksburg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's not that far from Hattiesburg.
Yeah. I know. I went to Alcorn, so I stumped up there a couple times, you know.
Okay. Yeah. You went to the casinos.
Girl, yeah, go get them crab legs.
Come on, crab legs. Yeah. That's one thing I miss about Mississippi, is going to the, because I live in Houston, mm-hmm. but going, you know, on Fridays and Saturdays to go get crab legs.
On Thursday, girl, you could have did this interview with me in person.
Well, you know what? Let me know when you're here, because I do want to take a picture with you.
Okay, then I've been, since the quarantine, I've been coming to Houston for 2 or 3 weeks at a time.
Really?
I come every month, pretty much.
Oh, awesome. For jobs, for gigs and stuff?
No. My godchildren down there.
Oh, okay.
They've been locked up. We just now kind of opened up. So, but yeah, so we was like down bad out here. So I was like,
yeah.
I'm cutting you off, baby.
Oh, no. You fine. Well, that's perfect, because I'm actually off Thursday, so I can meet you like, well, so I can get my picture. Then also my birthday on Saturday. So that's like a good little birthday gift.
So what you going to do for it? What you going
to
do?
I think I'm gonna go to Austin. If not, then I'm just gonna stay here in Houston and go like kayaking and hiking. And I told you I'm all about the nature. So I told my friends, like, I'm not trying to be in, I mean, we could do brunch on Sunday, that's cool, but I ain't trying to be in nobody's club, shaking no ass, bouncing no tea. I ain't doing all that. Kayaking and hiking and hopefully we can find us a winery, go taste like some different type of wines and stuff like that. So that's kind of like the move for my birthday.
No, I'm with it. I love all of that.
So I'm excited, but let's get into you. So for people who do not know you, so just tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Ooh. Girl, I hate talking about myself. Not just saying, but I do. Well, I am from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I was born in Oklahoma City, raised. I was in Vegas for a minute, then we moved back to Mississippi when I was like 6, 7. I'm country. So I enjoy doing everything that our country people could do, like going fishing, you dig, riding four-wheelers, go mud racing and all that. After Hurricane Katrina, I moved to Atlanta, where I actually started acting. I started taking a few classes, and then I've been in California too long. My Titi in Oakland, she sent me some money for some headshots, and that's when I didn't think I could act. I wasn't even on that. I was still playing ball. I was still looking somewhere to transfer to play ball. And she like, "Dad, just do it." And I ended up taking the money, taking some headshots. The lady told me, "Oh, do you got a commercial look?" And I said, "Oh, okay." And then shortly after that, I said, "You know what? I'm just gonna move to LA." And I moved to LA in 2007, and I've been out here ever since.
Really?
So I not only do I act, I write.
Mm-hmm.
Writing is something I do every day, all day, especially during the pandemic. Me and my friends, we recently got a show in development at CBS.
Awesome.
Thank you. And I have a slew of other shows that I'm, getting ready to start pitching.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That is awesome. So, okay, so I have a quick question because I have a whole master's degree in creative writing that I got from Full Sail.
Mm-hmm.
So I too kind of write as well. I don't do it as much, but I'm about to start back because I have like a plethora of things that I want to write about. So what software do you use? I'm always curious to know, like, people who write, like, do they use Final Draft? I think the other one is called First Take, if I'm not, something like that. I'm a Final Draft girl.
I love Final Draft. I Final Draft.
Final Draft, yes. I am a Final Draft girl. That's my jam. I can't do all the other third-party screenplay.
I can't do none of that.
Yeah, me either. So that's awesome. We got something in common.
Indeed, we do.
Yes, that is awesome.
Both from Mississippi now. This so.
Yes. Oh yeah. And well, and we also like nature. We also like being outside.
Yeah. So yeah.
So okay. So since the pandemic happened last year, like how has acting been for you? I know you said you've been on lockdown.
Yeah.
So how has it been?
It's been interesting. Where auditions at one point in time, like, it literally everything shut down back in March, so like around March 19th, and so mm-hmm. around then, like, everything just was a full stop until I want to say July-ish, where mm-hmm. People started, like, trying to anticipate when we're gonna open back up, and it wasn't until I want to say August where auditions started kind of like rolling back in. And then so not even August, I want to say closer to September-ish, maybe even October, but I ended up shooting a show in August for The Love of Jason.
Mm-hmm.
So we shot that in August, but auditions, like, so everything was like pretty much slowed down until I want to say September, and then like around the new year, things kind of like around pilot season, everything started picking back up. So
mm-hmm.
But it was a time where you had to work through some shit on some real, because it's like you go from audition on a regular basis, you go from being able to, being able to control the variables that you can't control. Like, I can control being able to go network. I can control, sending my stuff to this casting director, or having my manager hit somebody up, and then being in the mix and where you can bump into people and do those kind of things. But when it's kind of hard to network from Zoom. It's kind of hard to network from, because, 9 times out of 10, when you Zoom, you have a personal relationship with them, or you have some form of, have a reason to be there, opposed to, like, you can't really just, bump into people. So, mm-hmm. So that was the main thing, not being able to really control those parts of the game that you normally can't control. And mm-hmm. so you pretty much were left with your agent looking out for you, your manager looking out for you, and or the relationship that you already had established. So it was hard for a lot of people. And that's when I just dove straight into writing. Like, I said, you know what? I can write, I'm good at this. So I'm just gonna write as many pilots as I can and create as many cartoons as I can. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. So since COVID, have you discovered like any new talents that you would have never thought that you'll do?
No, not really. No, I haven't really. Well, I mean, you know what? I'll be honest with you. This COVID for me, it wasn't really for me to like explore those kind of things. It was more so I focused. I just went inside. I just went internal. You know, I started focusing on my shadow side. I started focusing on my inner child. I started working those things out. You know what I mean? And also on and focus on the craft. So for me, it was twofold. It was like, okay, I'm going to be the best creative that I can be, and also and in the process, I'm going to heal a lot of the things that need to be healed, or at least do my best and facilitate my best version of myself during the pandemic.
So, do you ever want to get into like maybe producing or directing?
Definitely, I'm not big on directing, but producing, yeah, like the Headspace, we produce that. Then with the other show right now that I'm pitching, producing on that. So yeah, most definitely, that's the move to take it to the next level with a production company, but produce and have a production company too.
So, okay, so another question. For someone who wants to get into acting, like what just a piece of advice that you'll give them?
Don't do it and go find you something else to go do. Man, listen, this is the Olympics of Hollywood isn't for the faint of heart. And although I love my life and I have been able to do some great things, when I tell you that this role is less travel, like when I tell you that the ups and downs, the rejections, the moments where you just have to like look at yourself, look at your soul, and be like, self, I don't know I could do this, you have those moments. So if I was to tell somebody give some form of advice would be get into it for the right things. If you want to be a famous, this ain't it. If you want to just come do it for the money, this ain't it. Like, this is something I think that you really need to appreciate the art form, the craft of it, and really immerse yourself in it and really ground yourself in it and decide, okay, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna be in this for a long haul, no matter what that looks like for me. I have friends who are on hit TV shows right now, who are hit movies, who are like careers are skyrocketing, and it's a blessing to be able to see them do their thing. But also, it's they have to be honest. Like, it makes you as much as happy as you could be for the people in your circle and people that you're around. It really makes you look at yourself like, damn. Ooh, what am I at? What am I at? And that's just to be honest, because it's like it makes you like you really have to check yourself all the time. But the benefits of it, I will say, me just being an artist, I have grown so much as a man. I have my I'm fearlessly vulnerable. I can articulate and communicate my emotions without fear of them being received or judged. So, for that, I mean, it's a blessing. Like, it's one of the best things. Like, it's helped me in my interpersonal relationships. It has helped me with my family, and it has helped me do a lot of healing too. So, yeah.
That's funny that you say that because a lot of people ask me about because professionally I'm a videographer, photographer, graphic designer, social media, all that stuff. So people ask me like, how can I get into it? I really want to do it, and I just tell them like, people think like, picking up a camera, snapping a picture, or pressing record. Like people think like that stuff is easy, and to a certain extent, it's easy. But you have to think about like, you're gonna probably be working with like some difficult people. You're gonna be working with some people that do not know shit about acting, even if you show them exactly what to do, they're gonna do it a whole nother different type of way. Then you also gotta take it to the fact of all the editing. Like you spend literally all day filming to come out with something that's 10 minutes. And I just try to tell people, like, you know, if it's something that you're thinking about doing, like, really, really and truly do your research and ensure that that's something that you really want to do. And also pray about it. You know, whoever you believe in your higher power, pray about it. But, you know, that's something that I tell people, like, because it's not for everybody. You know what I mean? Like Jay-Z said, it ain't for everybody. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, being in like the entertainment just space is a lot. And even like with me writing, like, because I have a few scripts that I wrote, but I just never really pitched it to anyone because for one, out of fear of rejection. And then for two, I'm like, well, damn, I don't want them to take my idea. Because like the stuff that I write about, it's like real life stuff that I be going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but no, I mean, what I tell people all the time, I'm having this conversation with one of my partners, like, I mean, there should be some form of, you know, of healthy fear of, okay, I ain't gonna send my script out to everybody named mama. But you do have to take some risk and like, okay, put yourself out there. Like, I have a script. This is cool. I tell a lot of people, take a script that you wrote that you're not married to and that, you know, it's a good script, but you're just not married to it. Like, you don't care what happens to it. And like use that just get your feet wet with, you know, taking meetings or, you know, sending it to different production companies, whatever. But yeah, man, at some point you're going to have to take some risks and to be like, you know what, I'm me. You take this story, okay, fine, it's an L, but I got buku stories right now. You hear me? Like, I got buku stories. I got seven others, not eight others. You know, I'm about to start writing a pitch deck for a new script today. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, just main thing is keep writing them, keep perfecting the craft and, you know, but get some form of representation. So, you know, I always register all my stuff with WGA and you get a copy written at the Library of Congress. Those are two ways to protect yourself. And also with your reps. I mean, so if you don't have no reps, like I have reps, so I make sure that my manager will send my script over, something like that though. Anyway.
Okay, so who are like some people that you want to work with in the future?
Who I want to work with in the future? Everybody, they mama them, girl. What's wrong with you? I'm trying to work, girl. Nah. Everybody. I really want to work with Regina King. Mm,
I love her.
Did you see One Night in Miami?
One Night in Miami?
Yeah.
No, I did not get to see it. Yeah, I've been seeing like the little, well, I saw the advertising when they had it on, when I opened up like my Fire Stick.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go watch it. Did you say something?
No, Regina King, she killed that. So as a director, she's so dope. And she's dope all the way around. But
yeah.
Regina King, one of my favorite actors is Brad Pitt. And so I always want to work with Brad, just to find a reason. Like, hey, nigga, I work with Brad Pitt. You know, I've already worked with my most famous, like with my favorite, my Eddie Murphy. So, like I had three scenes with him in Dolomite, and my scenes got cut out. But for me, it was Mike Epps, Eddie Murphy, and then I had one scene with Wesley Snipes.
Oh,
yeah. So for me, you know, those were two people, two black men, just actors and period that made me want to act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. And Eddie Murphy, come on, man. He's like the GOAT.
Legend. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've worked with the people who I really wanted to work with, to be honest with you.
That's awesome. But I know there's still more. I know there's still more people on the list that you want to work with. But that's that's awesome. If I ever work with Eddie Murphy, that's it. That's all I need.
That's how I felt. We was in, and I'll be real with you, it was on some moments we was in between takes. And it was like, oh, so look, like, I'm gonna do some of this, but I'm not gonna tell you. But just give me some space so I can do what I need to do. And I'm like, all right. I said, oh, we collaborating right now. Oh, okay. Eddie told me he needs some time to do what he need to do. So I'm let Eddie do what he do. Now I'm gonna come do my thing, you know?
Yeah.
But no, man, it was, but it's cool. Like, it's peers, you know? I can't work to work. Like, well, my friends on Back and Sexy, I can't wait to work with them on a bigger scale now, you know?
Because Daryl needs his own show, okay? On Black and Sexy.
I hear you.
Daryl needs his own show on Black and Sexy.
I tried, man. I tried. They wasn't really going for it.
Yeah. That's yeah. awesome. So I had a question. I hope it come back to me. So have you ever been on set and you just did something that just wasn't in the script? You just kind of just did it and it worked?
All the time. I mean, you know, it depends on the director. Some directors are big on, like, let's get the shot, keep moving. You know, time this, time that. But, you know, some directors are really open. A lot of times they'd be like, you know, improv this scene. Take a chance, take a risk. And so there was one scene that I did in Chef Julian. We was at a party at his house, I think. And there was a bunch of people over and I supposed to have been drunk. And so one thing I did, like so that scene right there, that's when I took a big giant risk, and it worked out. Like, it wasn't in the script.
I'm trying to figure out what episode you're talking about.
Episode, I think it was in season.
It's been so long since I watched it.
I know. I think it was season two, but I think it was the scene when he had two girlfriends at the time.
Okay. Yeah,
so it was that season right there. So I want to say it was like maybe episode 4 or 6.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about. I have to go back and watch it. Yeah. Okay. So another question: would you ever do a sex scene?
Hell yeah, I'll do a sex scene. I've done sex scenes. I'm gonna do a sex scene. Yeah, I'll do it.
Because I was listening to a podcast and it was someone that was on, I think it was Power. Mm-hmm. They were talking about that. I'm lying. It was I was listening to Angela Yee's Lip Service podcast, and she was talking to the guy from P-Valley, Diamond. She was talking to Diamond, and Diamond was just the light-skinned, the bodyguard.
Oh yeah, okay.
So she was talking to him, and he was talking about like the sex scenes and acting, and saying that men can't have like a fully erect penis. And, you know, I always wondered, like, dang, are they, like, really having sex? So we could take it back, like, on, like, when I first saw Baby Boy. And I was like, it's Taraji and Tyrese. Like, are they really having sex? Like, how does that work out? Yeah. So, like, but for real, like, how does that work out for people who's listening and they want to know? I know, but for the listeners, how does it work out?
So nobody's never really having sex.
Uh-huh.
It just, you know, it's sexually stimulated situations. That doesn't mean that your body doesn't respond. So, I mean, I can only speak for myself. Like, you know, like, I'm not going to half-ass do, I don't half-ass do nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, if I come to play, I'm playing. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, of course you're always respectful, and 9 times out of 10 with your scene partner, you have a conversation about it. Like, the times that we had like some love scenes, me and Kalila, we would talk about it. You know, we would talk about like what you're comfortable with, what you're not comfortable with. You know, you okay if I'm touching you here or there? Like, just let me know what's cool. And she'll tell me, yeah, I'm cool with this, I'm not cool with that. You know, so 9 times out of 10, like, you have a conversation about it, and it's also, planned out. Mm-hmm. You know, so you already know what you're doing, know where you're going. But I come, look, if I'm gonna be on there, I'm coming for real, you heard me? I'm not fast or nothing. Hey, it ain't no game. I don't play.
That's how all them comments of I want Daryl after each episode.
Listen, baby, listen. Oh, I can't go home like that.
Yeah.
I can't go back to the hood like that. Daryl, you were playing with that. No. I represented, you heard me?
Yeah. Now, does the woman, like, does she have on like some type of like paper underwear or?
No, I mean, 9 times out of 10, they have on a G-string and they edit it out. Mm-hmm. Or they are naked, but then it's like, you know, it's they're always covered. So
I got you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We not just wild. I mean, some movies though, like you have to go there, but I haven't been in those situations yet.
Oh, now another thing that I notice in movies and TV shows that have explicit scenes, they never have a woman that's full, like that's heavy. Well, they got big ass titties. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Like, I wanna, if I'm gonna sit here and watch this, like, one thing about me, I like to watch stuff that's relatable to me. I mean, I like all types of stuff, but when you see there is a bigger chested woman, you know, that makes me feel like, oh damn, well, I got a chance to, you know, to try out, and then they gonna pick me. But they always have women with smaller breasts.
I don't know. I just think Hollywood has a I don't want to say has a thing against, but it's more so, I mean, big girls don't get a lot of love when it comes to Hollywood movies. Mm-hmm. Unless it's not, like, not for, like, you know, the sexually, like, charged type of scenes or not seen as sex symbols, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I'm Black and I'm from Mississippi, so, you know, I don't subscribe to that at all.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean?
I just think that's why it's so important for, I feel like, for filmmakers and people who are big or who feels like they want to see that need to write that.
True.
You know?
Thank you for that little nugget in my head, because I'm working on that. I do want to see, you know, bigger, I mean, I'm not a lesbian or anything, but bigger-breasted women.
And
yeah, it does. And I'm just like, okay, y'all got all these women with these mosquito bites. Like, you know, everybody ain't no size A. Hey, you know, some of us are damn double D's in this motherfucker.
And I think that representation matters. That's why I love what Rihanna's doing with Fenty, with Savage Beauty.
Yeah.
As I said, right, is it Savage Beauty or Fenty something?
It's Fenty.
Yeah, Fenty. We know. Yeah, she including everybody, man. Everybody love, you know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody be seen too.
Yeah.
From the A to the triple Z's, whatever you want to call them, you know what I mean?
Look, everybody, all the big-breasted women in the real. Okay, so what upcoming projects do you have?
Right now, I don't have anything that's lined up right now. Mostly just everything's for writing right now. Mm-hmm. I've been auditioning for everything. You've been watching on TV. So I haven't been booking, but I definitely, I got big plans for the shows I've been writing. So that's what I'm really pushing right now.
And that's awesome. And I can't wait to see it. Cause I'm like, all things Daryl, whatever he got going on, I'm tuned in.
I appreciate you, baby.
I'm supporting the home team.
Absolutely. I love it. I'm the same way though. When I found out somebody from the SIP, well, if I find out, like, you know what I'm saying, your people from there, are we cool? I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like, we're the same squad, you hear me? Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to see, you know, all your endeavors that you have coming up. I know you're going to do big things in Hollywood.
Man, I show Bobo. Yeah.
You ever thought about moving out of California?
I'm ready to move out of California. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been spending so much time in Houston. But yeah, I'm ready to go. So where we go, I mean, it was up to me, I will be in New Orleans right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to be able to go back to New Orleans or Atlanta soon.
Yeah. Oh, Atlanta is good. I'm still thinking about moving to Georgia.
Yeah, I love Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta like for 2.5 years after Katrina. So Atlanta one of my favorite places to be.
So are you going to, like, maybe one day just pick up a camera and just start doing, like, little webisodes on YouTube?
No, not really. You know what? I thought about that, but I think I've been there, done that. And right now my mindset is such on a television screen,
mm-hmm.
and about getting those stories out there on a larger scale that, you know, that's my complete focus right now. So, you know, we got one in development now. I'm aiming to get 2 or 3 by the end of the year.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I believe.
Okay,
so I gotta ask this question before we go. For the people that want to know, are you dating?
Am I dating? Woo! Y'all all up in my mix, girl. I can't breathe. No, I just played up and no, I'm not right now. I was seeing somebody. And that kind of came to an abrupt And unfortunately, I'm still getting over that right now. So,
I got you.
I'm out here. I'm just
positive vibes. Sending you positive vibes.
I'm just over here healing.
Yes. don't be breaking my friend heart. Okay, don't be doing that.
It burned. So yeah, man. So yeah, no, I am. You know, I am so focused on my stuff, but I do aim, and I'm at the age now where it's like, okay, I need to sit my butt down somewhere. I need to be in a situation, a long-term situation. So
yeah,
I'm praying for that person. I manifested them. You know, if it's somebody from the past or somebody new, I'm praying, I'm visualizing exactly what I want. You heard me?
Well, she coming. She gonna come sooner than what you think.
Okay, then I'm ready.
I've been telling myself that too. I was like, oh, you about to be 28. You need to sit down. And then I'm like, girl, please.
No. You keep living. You keep living, girl. You keep on living.
I am enjoying myself. I am enjoying, you know, doing my podcast. I do want to take this far and take my production company far. So like my main goal, like right now, is just to really just kind of put myself out there, meet new people, network, and all that other good stuff. The relationship, the kids, all that other good stuff, it'll come when it comes.
Well, I say this. I tell people all the time, you know, you can ask for those things all day, but if it came, are you ready?
Exactly.
And for me, I like being the best possible version of myself. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, for me to be in a healthy relationship, I have to heal my shit, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's the thing. So, and that's why I do my inner child work. That's why I do my shadow work. I've worked on my communication. Everything that is important to make a relationship work, I've worked on those things. So when it does show up, then, mm-hmm. you know, I could be able to facilitate and lead a healthy relationship, you know.
Because yes.
But that means that I will be able to show up, and I could be vulnerable, and I could be open, mm-hmm. I could be committed to you, but more importantly, be committed to my healing, mm-hmm. and that person be committed to their healing, and then we come together and we be committed together.
Yes, because we don't need no more Derrick Jackson scandals in the world. We don't.
Let me tell you, man. Me and my boy was having a conversation, bro. He making it hard out here for, bro. He making it hard for all of us, man.
Yeah, he is. When that came out, like, oh my gosh, I just went on like this whole rant. Like, I was just like, I'm sick of men, not just black men, but I'm sick of any, like, this is not a race thing. It's a gender thing. It's a gender thing, because I'm just like, oh my gosh, as a married man, your only three things for you to do is to provide, protect, and to be faithful.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't have to do the extra stuff. And I always say, Daryl, if you do not want to be faithful,
don't be
faithful.
Don't even be in a relationship. And look,
exactly.
And I'm not even, I've been in a situation where, and even my last one, where it was a strong misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing is, I esteem my word above everything. I believe in moving in integrity, and I believe in being, I'm an open book. If you literally ask me a question, I will answer your question. Like, no matter what, like if it has anything to do with me, I'll give you an honest answer. And so I really don't have nothing to hide, but it was a strong misunderstanding in my last situation. And then Derrick Jackson came out here with this dumb shit. And it did not help the cause. Like, nope, you guilty. Niggas ain't shit.
You guilty by association.
You like, what you know to do?
But you're still guilty. You know what? That's that situation. I believe that situation has really shaken up a lot of people's marriages and really made some people really question their spouse, whether there was a wife questioning the husband or the husband questioning the wife, you know what I mean? And again, I still stand by this. If you just can't be faithful, stay single, because I really believe some men, and again, this is not a race thing, so I ain't saying a black man, it ain't that. This is everybody. This is every, this is a gender thing, not a race thing.
Yeah.
I do believe that some people just get married just because they think that's what they want, and that's not really what they want.
I'm a venture to go even further. It's not even about marriage at this point. I feel like a lot of people and a lot of women get on Instagram and they do these comparisons to their friends,
mm-hmm.
to these life goals, marriage goals, et cetera, et cetera. And they construct this idea of what they think a relationship should be or look like. Mm-hmm. But what they don't go through is they see the finished result. Or also, but they don't even see the moments or how whatever it took the process to get there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't talk about, this is a great looking couple. They are traveling, they got houses, they got cars, or they have kids, they have a family, but they don't see the mistakes. They don't see when they fell on their face. They don't see the many of times there was miscommunications. They don't see the many of times where they had to face hard things and they were able to work through it. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, you know, relationships come down at the end of the day, it comes down to being able to communicate and being able to comprehend what's being communicated. But
yep.
but you have to also understand everything is about wavelengths and frequency.
Mm-hmm.
If people are on the same vibration, if I'm a high vibrating individual, everything is real. Like with me, I'm always smiling, I'm always happy. You know, we always have a good time. Nothing really gets me down. But if I'm with someone who's a low vibrational person who every little thing bothers them, they gossip, they always want to talk about somebody or always have a negative comment. We're not even talking about baggage from, you know, traumas and things of that nature. We're just talking about just the wavelengths.
Mm-hmm.
If it's always like this, there's always going to be it's always going to be static.
Yeah.
The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed?
Yeah.
And we're not even talking about being yoked, right?
Yes.
So that's very important. So like you have a lot of people who are getting with people who are on the same vibration, who aren't like-minded individuals,
mm-hmm.
because that's important. Like you got to have everything in common. You got people, oh, he fine, oh, she fine. Oh, we total opposite, oh, that's exciting. That's cool. But if you're total opposites, communication is definitely the most important thing that you have to be able to do. And I'll be honest with you, dating out here and just dating in general, there's not a lot of women where I can have an emotionally intelligent conversation with.
Mm.
And being able, and a lot of times those individuals don't necessarily have aren't equipped with the levels of awareness
mm-hmm.
that I do. Like, I mean, I'm an avid reader, and that's not to sit there and say like, I'm all this and that, you know, I'm some guru. No, I'm not. But I understand where I came short. And I work on myself to be able to have a healthy relationship. So anyway, I don't talk. You can go all day, but yeah, man.
No. I like it. I'm enjoying it because I was going to kind of elaborate and say I kind of feel like that with here in Houston. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, some men. And I said some, I didn't say all, y'all that's listening. Some men in Houston like anything that's light, bright, close to white. And then they get with these young women or these ladies, and then they end up leaving them or cheating on them because mentally they're not there. You know, it's all about a physical yeah. appearance.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you know, looks does matter, but it's also is if that person is like how you said, if they're on like the same level as you, like if you can't like meet me halfway or match what I got or better, like we can't have a conversation because I ain't trying to go backwards, I'm trying to go forward.
No, that's true. And I mean again, I'm at a place in my life now where I'm conscious where who I'm dating is like, oh, this is gonna be the mother of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, so if she's not healed or she hasn't healed her trauma or haven't faced her shit, essentially when we're raising our kids, that shit is gonna be passed down to my kids.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna have to do the heavy lifting of like trying to reprogram, but that's too much work, right?
Yeah.
But you do, a lot of people just date people solely off of physical, but I mean, I'll be real with you. A fat ass don't have the same value like it used to 5-10 years ago.
Nope.
Like, I can lay down with you, but can I hold a conversation with you? can I meet you halfway? Like, if we have a disagreement, are we able to work through that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, are you on the first disagreement? Are you out? Like, I can't do this? Or are you going to be able to sit down with me and hash it through? Like, yeah. Can you have a legit adult conversation about issues or just expectations? You know what I'm saying? But again, girl, the levels of awareness that people got out here, it's not healthy. So it's not even that about it being healthy. It's just people refuse to do the work. People want a microwave situation. Nobody wants to show up and do the work. Mm-hmm. And when they get into these relationships and they're thinking like, oh, we're supposed to be this, we're supposed to be that. No, those great relationships come from great communication, great sacrifice, great understanding, being able to, you know your, and understand your non-negotiables, value systems, you know, all those things have to be in place, and you have to know who you are and exactly what it is that you want. Because if not, you're going to be in situations where I ask myself this question, y'all, and this is just changed everything for me. Does this nourish me? Whether it be a relationship, a friendship, a job, a script, mailman, wherever my interaction with persons, places, or things, does this nourish me? And if the answer is no, then you gotta go.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Boom, y'all heard that?
Yeah.
I tell people, I recommend a song and I recommend a book to people. The song is "Full Force," Ain't My Type of Hype. That song, them lyrics, that video, it still applies today.
I'm writing this. Let me take a note.
It goes beyond just that scene of kid and play dancing. It goes beyond. Listen to the song. Listen to the lyrics. They just said, act your age, not the size of them pants that you wear. And that is so true today. And I also recommend for people to go, which this is newer. It's to go read Relationship Goals by Pastor Mike Todd and at Transformation Church. Wonderful book. I ain't gonna even tell you, it's just a good read.
Oh, I got it.
So for anybody that's listening, we recommended two books to y'all. So go and read them shit.
There's a book called where's that book at? I just hold up. Girl, what that? It's The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Let me write that down so I can go check.
Oh, you gotta read that one. It's it's the same author as Four Agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Mastery of Love.
Mastery of Love. When I tell you that that book has revolutionized the way that I approach self-love and love in general, the person. Yeah, heavy hitter.
I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna let you know how I like it.
Yeah, you gotta circle back with me, you dig, so I can know what's down.
Yes, I gotta have you back on the podcast. We gotta talk about some other than acting. We gotta talk about some deep shit.
Talk about whatever you remember.
Well, is there anything else you want to touch on before we close out? How can people find you?
Oh, they can find me on my social media. I'm mainly on Instagram, so it's Darryl Blaylock Jr. On Instagram. My Facebook is Darryl Blaylock. And on Twitter, I'm
CountryBoy24. CountryBoy24. Okay.
With a K. And maybe that's where I be at. I mean, you know. Yeah.
You talk to the people back.
What's that?
Do you talk to the people's back when they tweet you?
No, I talk to everybody. I ain't funny acting. I ain't never said Diddy. I don't act like that, you hear me? I talk to anybody. I'm country. I tell you, I treat the mailman like I treat the president. I treat everybody the same.
I heard that. That's my way of thinking. I treat the janitor the same way I treat the CEO.
Yeah, I got homeless people all on my block. I'm like, hey, what up, man? You want a beer? All right, cool. I'm going to get you your beer.
That is awesome. I'm about to actually follow you right now because I don't think I'm following you.
No problem. Yeah, you could hit me up through the book. So, yeah, I'll follow you right back whenever you follow me.
Cool. Well, I thank you so much for joining me and, you know, taking some time out. Just, you know, this hour we've been talking. This was a good conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I haven't had a good conversation in a minute, so I appreciate you.
Oh, well, listen, you are always welcome to come back. If you got a topic, if you want to promote some shit, I am here. Okay? Hit me up. Hit me up. Matter of fact, and follow. Bam. I just followed you.
I'm gonna follow you back, baby, and be sure to hit me if I'm touched down in Houston. If I don't remember, hit me so I can pull up on you.
Thursday. Okay, cool. Well, everybody, thank you. Don't leave just yet. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for the Conversation Room podcast. I will have all his information in the show notes down below. And until next time, bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Conversation Room podcast with Reese Alisa. Be sure to follow us on our social media platforms at The Conversation Room. Follow our hosts at Reese Alisa on Instagram and Twitter. And be sure to send us an email, reesealisapodcast@gmail.com.